Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX and the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. This program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. You're invited to participate in today's discussion by calling in your questions to 800-549-8855. And they'll take your questions for the panel, or you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. Today, host Mario Espinoza-Kulik speaks with guests about the work of the community and economic development nonprofits on the Central Coast that are striving to increase capacity in rural communities and to increase access to recreation services. Let's join Mario and his guests. Over to you, Mario.
Thanks, Brad. Good afternoon and welcome back, everyone, to Central Coast Voices. My name is Mario Espinoza-Kulik, and we're here on KCBX, listening to Central Coast Voices. Throughout the pandemic, we've become especially aware of how important public spaces and recreation are for individual health and community well-being. However, the pandemic has also shined a light on the widespread disparities among communities across the country, including outdoor recreation opportunities and the accessibility and availability of open space. Today, we'll be talking about work happening on the Central Coast to increase capacity in rural and low-income communities to recreation and high-quality public parks. Our guests for today's show are Tom Brandeberry, founder and executive director of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, and Alma Hernandez, president of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, and Daniel Segura, Santa Maria community organizer with the Central Coast Alliance United for a Sustainable Economy. Welcome, Tom, Alma, and Daniel.
Hi, everybody.
I'd like to start by talking about the groups you're representing today. So, Tom, could you share a little bit about Los Amigos de Guadalupe?
Yes, Los Amigos de Guadalupe is a nonprofit that focuses all of its efforts and its mission on improving the capacity of Guadalupe to do what it needs to get done, to become a less disadvantaged community, to become a sustainable community. So we do, a lot of our work is centered around supporting the city in areas that they could not normally do because they are a poor working class community. So we do things, for example, like look for grant funding, write grants for the city, and then when necessary, implement those grants. So we've done things like the Leroy Park, which is a rehabilitation of the park and the community center. We just got a grant to rehab the city's Central Park. So our role is to try and fill in the gap that poorer communities cannot do on their own.
Thanks for sharing that, Tom. Alma, is there anything you want to add about Los Amigos de Guadalupe?
Well, I guess the main thing is that, you know, like you mentioned, COVID did bring up like a lot of, you know, awareness of how much we need to have those, you know, spaces close by in the community and just what the lack, you know, means to our communities. On the day to day, you know, people are so busy working and trying to, you know, get food on the table that, you know, you don't think about it so much. But then when things get quiet, you realize, you know, there's lack of connection in our communities. There's lack of, you know, places to run. There's lack of healthy foods, you know, and all that, you know, creates sort of community disengagement, low mental wellness, you know, and because when you're trying to just meet basic needs, that's not highlighted in our community. So when this awareness sort of came up, it made us really see the disparity and what an improvement our community could be in if we had more open spaces, if we had more, you know, healthy food available, if we had, you know, places to be able to commune and talk and re-engage with one another, you know, work together as a community, you know, what that really means and how that could really help our you know, low-income communities.
Awesome. Daniel, you work a lot with the community and with CAUSE. I'm wondering if you would like to share a little bit about the work you do with CAUSE.
Yeah, thank you so much. And for those who aren't familiar with CAUSE, we're a grassroots faith-building organization based throughout the Central Coast, with myself working in Santa Maria, specifically with youth and young adults. And so I've been with CAUSE for about a year now, where the youth in the community really have a desire to have more open spaces that are safe, accessible, and fun. Because although we do have parks, we do have some recreational areas in Santa Maria, the general sentiment is that they're not enough. They're not up to the standard that our community deserves. And we've been able to really work around that concept of, well, what do we want to see in our community? What changes do we want to implement and create and ask for and advocate for and encourage the community to want as well? And some of those things have been revolving around the example of the expansion of the Santa Maria Riverbed Trail, and making that a project that my youth have been successfully canvassing our community for, garnering petition signatures, and just sharing information about the lack of open and green spaces in our community. And overwhelmingly, the response has been positive from the community, letting us know that there is a need, there is a desire for this, and that this is something that would just benefit everyone in the community, whether that's the government officials that would be greenlighting a project like this, or the community members that would be able to enjoy themselves and reap the health benefits of having more green spaces. Overall, the youth have really engaged with this as an issue that's close to them, because it's our community, we grew up here, and it's for the generations that are to come.
Wonderful. My understanding is that the Santa Maria River Trail connects both Guadalupe and Santa Maria. Is that correct?
Technically, no. Yes, and it no. So it's Tom, do you want to add in before?
No, it's, so just so you know, the county is working on making that connection real. So there is a way to get there, but the actual trail stops partway down. The county is in the process of working to see how we can get that trail to go all the way to Guadalupe. And there are some plans that are also looking at how we get that trail to then go all the way to the ocean.
Correct.
So that's the real plan.
And that's the project that my youth are really supporting. And so even though there is some existing infrastructure, one, it's not open to the public, it's not finished, it's not safe. There's a lot of these questions of how do we get this done? And so that's the big question that I've been working on for almost a year now, of how do we get the community to give us their input? How do we talk to the county to make sure this is something that's feasible for the community? But overall, it would just be a project that would safely connect Guadalupe in the vision that has been proposed, to create an alternate route for folks who maybe don't have that access to car transportation between Santa Maria and Guadalupe, for families who want to have access to the coastline, like Tom was saying, if that expansion to Guadalupe and then from Guadalupe to the ocean would be able to be a possibility. So there's a lot of wonderful opportunities that have been kind of thrown around, and that's kind of what we're discussing at this stage.
No, I was just going to add that in San Luis Obispo County, there's a trail called the Bob Jones Trail, and people come from all over the community, all over, you know, Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, to use that trail that goes from inland to the beach. And so it's a 3 mile, you know, bike ride, roller skate, you know, run, walk, you know, that people just absolutely love. And so, you know, this would be sort of the Bob Jones Trail for Santa Maria, you know, community. People love to go walking in Santa Maria, and just having the opportunity to have a such a beautiful destination as Guadalupe Beach would just be, you know, incredible for our community. What a point of equity to be able to have something for the Latino population, who's a farm working population, who works the fields, who can walk, you know, next to the fields all the way to the beach, and just have that asset to be able to improve, you know, health and wellness.
Thank you for sharing about the current efforts for the Santa Maria River Trail. What inspired or catalyzed this movement?
Go ahead, Daniel.
I was going to say, I grew up running on the trail. Like, ever since I was a little kid, my parents would take me out there. I'd bike out there. My mom would love taking walks. In high school, I was a cross country and distance runner. We would practice out there. Coming back to Santa Maria, like, still in the pandemic, you know, wanting to go on runs, wanting to exercise, the first thing in my mind was the Riverbed Trail. I came to find out that wasn't the same concept for everybody else. And Then after getting involved with this project a little bit more deeply throughout my role in cause, this has been a project that's been proposed various times over the years. So it's been a conversation that's happened for a while now, but it's either hasn't moved forward for whatever reason. And so I think there's just this need to be able to really give Santa Maria an opportunity that's the same opportunities that we're giving to neighboring cities like SLO or Santa Barbara, where they're getting these opportunities to have these outdoor recreational spaces that are maintained, they're nice, they're new, but people in my city are having to drive to those places to enjoy. When it's, we live in the same counties, we live in the same area, it's just as beautiful, but we haven't been given the infrastructure at the same level that our neighbors have. And you have to consider as well, like Santa Maria is a predominantly Latina community. So is that a part of it? Is it just because it's been an ignored portion of the county where North County hasn't been given that infrastructure for various reasons? And so just really wanting to do something that should have been done a long time ago, that our community is very deserving of. And hopefully this is the first step in many of just what are other places of recreation that we can create for the community? What are other places that we can maintain or bring up to date?
And from the perspective of Guadalupe, there is no trail.
Mm-hmm.
So Santa Maria can go down part way and then turn around and go back. Guadalupe doesn't have a trail to go to at all. Mm-hmm. And so for Guadalupe's purposes, it's really important that they get that trail so that they have a place to go for their bike riding and for their running. It's mm-hmm. also critical that many of the community members in Guadalupe live in rental housing. Those rental housing have zero green space. So the most of their green space or the place where they play is on concrete. They don't get the opportunity to take walks anywhere. So it's critical for that trail. I would like to say that I think part of the reason why it's working now is a shout out to Supervisor Hartman, who's been pushing the county to make this trail happen. So I think we have to, there is a real push now, and I think Supervisor Hartman kind of kick-started. The county is doing a plan and an actual process. Our hope is at the end of that process, there'll be money to actually implement.
Yeah, and that money portion is super important, right? And you know, Tom, you mentioned that there was a grant that was achieved by Los Amigos de Guadalupe for the renovation of that of the park you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
So the first park that Los Amigos de Guadalupe worked on was Leroy Park. And if anybody knows anything about Leroy Park, it's the oldest park in Santa Barbara. It is, in my opinion, and always has been, the kind of unofficial town square. Barbecues went there, parades ended there. It was a critical part of the community, and it has deteriorated over time. By 2008, the building was closed due to mold. So my organization went to the city, and the city asked us to look for grant funding for the project. So my background is I know of a number of funding areas that are good to go to, where you can get the funding, how to write those grants. So we wrote a grant for Leroy Park. In the end, this is a $6 million project where we use two grants plus a capital campaign to make that work. In addition to that, we just got a second $2 million grant to do phase two of the park, which is to extend the community center so that more activities can be done in the community center. Taking that concept, we then knew that the statewide parks program, which is Prop 68 money, a lot of money availability. And these are the things that really are critical, in my opinion, and that is, you have a community that ticks all the boxes of being a competitive application for a grant. The problem is the community, because they are competitive, because they have disadvantage, don't have the background skills or knowledge that these grants are available. So many disadvantaged rural communities miss these opportunities. They don't know the grant's theirs. They don't know how to write that grant. And that's what Los Amigos fills in as a gap. So Central Park was a $5 million grant that we got that in most cases, I don't think the city would have even known it had existed as a grant. Now, I do think Guadalupe is growing now, and I think their capacity is increasing, and I think over time they will be able to manage it much more. But Santa Maria applied for that same grant, that same program, and actually got a grant as well. But that's normal because they're a 100,000 population and they have some capacity to be able to do that sort of thing.
I'm Mario Espinoza-Kulik with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. The voices with mine today are Tom Brandeberry, founder and executive director of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, Alma Hernandez, president of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, and Daniel Segura, Santa Maria community organizer with CAUSE. We're talking about work that's happening on the Central Coast to increase capacity in rural and low-income communities to recreation and high-quality public parks. We've also discussed how it's important for city and county leadership to be involved in these efforts to bring in important revenue to help sustain these projects and efforts. We invite and welcome you to bring your questions or comments about today's topic to our guests. To do that, call 805-549-8855, or you can email them to voices@kcbx.org. While we do have a lot of natural resources here on the Central Coast, including the beautiful landscapes, the ocean, mountains, and all that greenery and flowers that bloom in the springtime, communities don't all have access to these same benefits and experiences on the Central Coast. How do these disparities in our communities contribute to the locations of where parks and open spaces exist? Daniel?
I think a big part of that is looking at first, like the percentage of county open space that exists in like the Santa Maria Valley. There's 17%. In Santa Maria, only 2% of Santa Maria's city land is used for parks and recreation. The national median is 15%. So already looking at those numbers, there's a disparity. Bringing in those different identities of the folks in our community, you have to think, like, is that a consideration that is intentional? Is that a consideration that is being ignored? Or is this a consideration that we can bring into the future and make changes that our community is deserving of? I think regardless of whether we're giving access to spaces, we need to also look at if these spaces are adequate enough for our community, if they're being maintained. If, in short, are they good enough for our community? Are they being listened to the needs of the community, or is it just, here's a green field, here are some benches, enjoy. And I really think, as someone who has grown up in this community, my perception was I need to go elsewhere to be able to enjoy the outdoors, to go hiking, to exercise, because Santa Maria doesn't have spaces like that. As I've grown up, I've noticed that that reality isn't true. But the spaces that are meant to be recreational spaces for us are old, they're worn down. Sometimes they're being used for other purposes that aren't exercising or recreational spaces. And it's unfortunate. And I think it's something that continues to affect our communities. And it's an intergenerational issue. It's not just a youth issue. It's not just an older folks issue. It's something that everyone in our community would benefit from. It's a health benefit for all of us. And it's a reality that is possible. We just need to work for it, ask for it, and hopefully our elected officials agree with us.
What are your thoughts, Tom?
So I think if you look at Guadalupe and you say how many acres do they have per person, you might say there's a lot there. Then you actually go to Central Park and you see a concrete path and that's it. So the question is, what is there and how do you build? So you look at the acreage as a one aspect, but then you look at what are actually inside those parks. So in Central Park, we had a 7 or 8 public events to ask the community what they thought belonged in that park. And in the end, we will be building a skate park, a dog park. We'll have a climbing rope. We'll have art in the park. We'll have children's equipment. There'll be exercise equipment. There'll be a bocce ball, there'll be game tables, a half-court basketball, and of course there's no toilets there, so there'll be bathrooms there as well. I think that covers everything, but that's what a park should be. It should be a place where community members, that even community members that don't normally hang out together, have an opportunity to have that same space shared.
Anything to add, Alma?
Yeah. I wanted to touch on, you know, some of the things that Daniel was mentioning and in regards to equity and, as well as Thomas and Los Amigos de Guadalupe and how, you know, it all sort of came together the last few years. You mentioned Supervisor Hartman's buy-in and why she became such a strong advocate for this trail. When I first, started, Thomas, was coming in, trying to build community resilience, in regards to Guadalupe, meaning that the community is able to overcome adversities, no matter what they be, whether they be a disaster, whether there be food insecurity, whatever it is that the community has to face, that the community is able to come together and be able to get through it. And so in building community resilience, he did a number of workshops to find out what the community wants, what's going to help build community, what's going to give hope and perseverance. And the community came together and said that they wanted more recreation, open spaces, and so forth. During that time, a fifth grade class at Mary Buren Elementary School came to the Board of Supervisors, and the class put together a PowerPoint presentation, the fifth graders, that said, "We want a trail. We want a trail." And so with the survey results, with wanting to help Guadalupe maintain economic development and also build community resilience, and then having the kids coming to the Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Hartman was sold. And in the past, there had not been that sort of support. Even if there had been different groups who wanted to have the trail happen, because there wasn't the support and the leadership, nobody wants to try to push for something that community leaders are not going to support. We're not going to get the funding. It's just not going to be that. There's not a connection. So that's when, like I said, Joan became a champion, and through Thomas's efforts, they were able to get, some funding going, which built a lot of hope within the community. And the more hope that came, the more that people felt, okay, maybe we can advocate for this. And so that's kind of what got the ball rolling. And in addition, of course, having a trail will bring people out into the community, bring people into Guadalupe using the trail. And then, of course, that helps bring, more people into the restaurants, into buying, and then being able to have resiliency in Guadalupe because there's more people coming into Guadalupe. And so and then on top of all that, Guadalupe has, one of the most beautiful assets, in the county, which is Guadalupe Beach. The majority of Guadalupe residents, kids, have not gone to Guadalupe Beach. They're not even, aware of it because there's, one road out, it's by car, and there isn't sufficient parking in the parking lot, and there's just not a really real understanding or ability to go to Guadalupe Park. So having a trail is able to bring, one of the greatest assets in our county, the beautiful dunes of Guadalupe and the beach and so forth. And then also, I don't know if you're aware, but Guadalupe has one of the most amazing birding, views and abilities to birders come from all over the world to see birds in the Guadalupe area, which most Guadalupe residents are not aware of, or don't have access to, or have an awareness of that asset. And so I think with all those things together, I think that's sort of what created the advocacy, got the ball rolling, and helped us to all see that we need to really educate our community about what that would mean for our community and for the surrounding community to build resiliency, to improve the health and wellness, and then to bring community together.
Thanks for bringing our attention to some of those barriers that are making it harder for people to access and even understand that there is this pristine location of nature and environment and birds that is available, but we need to be able to access those opportunities. I'm thinking of other barriers like ability status and safety and even like the time of day that things are open. How do those barriers play a role in how communities access parks and recreation?
If I would like to bring in a thing with safety. So we were just looking at some statistics about like with bikers, right, in Santa Maria, because unfortunately in the last couple of months there was a couple of incidents where youth were struck by cars while riding their bikes in Santa Maria, either on their way to school or just after school, like exercising with their families. And we found that Santa Maria ranks 9th out of 59 cities in its population group for most bicycle or motorist collisions, and 4th in the state for these types of collisions occurring between cyclists under the age of 15. And so that's something to us that's very alarming. If our youth are not able to just simply ride their bikes without having that fear of being struck by a car or having any sort of incidents, that shows us that there is a need for creating a space where folks of any age group are also able to, you know, enjoy their bike riding in peace. And that's just one example of safety. If we're looking at Route 166 that connects Guadalupe and Santa Maria, for folks that want to maybe use the natural assets in either of the two cities, that's really the only way you're going to get in between. And there's traffic congestion. Typically in the mornings or evenings, if you try to commute between the two cities, that becomes a drive that is unnecessarily long. So if you don't have a car, if you don't have that access to transportation, you're kind of out of luck. And so some points that Alma and Tom are saying of like, how do we enjoy the assets that we already have? How do we give our communities access? Well, first of all, like they need to be able to get there. And then we need to look at those assets and look, how can we improve these? How can we maintain them? And I think it's something that, unfortunately, again, there's a stigma of, yeah, we know it's there, but I'd rather just drive up 15, 20 minutes to Avila or Pismo and go to the beach out there, because that just seems easier to me. I know how I'm going to get there. I'm going to take the 101, I'm going to get off and all these streets, even if it's relatively the same commute, where Guadalupe is just as beautiful, just has maybe even more natural assets where there's natural parks and natural spaces out there, but folks never think of that as their first choice to go out and enjoy it. And so I think things like the trail, things like improving our parks, maybe even like Route 166, that being something in the future that is widened and opened up so it's safer for folks, or adding bike lanes, small changes like that are things that are going to make our community just have access to the beautiful spaces that we have.
We're going to take a short break to hear from our team and a little bit of music. Back over to you, Brad.
And we will return to Central Coast Voices in just a moment. From the KCBX Community Calendar, the San Luis Obispo Botanical Garden is offering a propagation workshop and garden tour on April 9th. Attendees will learn how to propagate Mediterranean climate plants from cuttings and have the chance to propagate their own cuttings through an interactive component. Perfect for folks like me who is redoing our yard and getting rid of all that grass. If you're thinking about doing that, this is a really good class to attend. Register to attend online at slowbg.org, and you can learn more on our calendar page at kcbx.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, get ready for a wild ride as we go to the Tucson Rodeo. It's also known as La Fiesta de los Vaqueros.
I can tell you that the turnout of our family has always been about this big, if not sometimes bigger. I think that's partly because of our culture and who we are as Latinos.
That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, The Abortion Underground, we talk with journalist Jessica Bruder. Her new article in The Atlantic is about how women, health advocates, and activists are developing methods to help women get abortions if Roe is overturned by the Supreme Court. Bruder also wrote the book Nomadland, which was adapted into an Oscar-winning film. Join us.
What happens when long-awaited money finally arrives?
It is transformative in the sense of the fact that these institutions, these minority-serving institutions, have not seen this kind of capital really ever.
I'm Amy Scott. Black-owned banks and the communities they serve, next time on Marketplace.
That's ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX. Latino USA up at 2 o'clock, followed by Fresh Air at 3, and then Marketplace comes at 4. Right now, let's return to Mario Espinoza-Kulik and his guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Mario.
Hey, y'all. Mario here. The voices with mine today are Tom Brandeberry, founder and executive director of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, Alma Hernandez, president of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, and Daniel Segura, Santa Maria community organizer with CAUSE. We're talking about the work that's happening on the Central Coast to remove barriers to accessing recreation and high-quality public parks, as well as all of the beautiful assets that are present in both Guadalupe and Santa Maria, California. You can learn more about Los Amigos de Guadalupe on their website at www.losamigosdeguadalupe.org and connect with them on Facebook and Instagram at Los Amigos de Guadalupe. CAUSE is online at www.causenow.org and on Facebook or Instagram at CAUSE805. I'd like to remind our listeners that if you have a question for today's guests or a comment for our discussion, we would love to hear from you. Call 805-549-8855, or you can email questions and comments to voices@kcbx.org. We'll get them on the air. In this next section, I want us to talk more about the role that recreation and parks play for young communities. Why is it important to provide young people opportunities for recreation? Would you like to start us off, Alma?
Well, the number one reason, obviously, is just health and well-being, you know, connection, you know, socialization is incredibly important for young people. Just being able to connect with other people. It just, you know, the whole social media has really shown us how important it is to connect. How divisive not connecting could be. You know, COVID has also been another example of how that creates a decline in mental wellness, social connection, community, by not being in close proximity for one another. Having open spaces brings people together really. Not only improves wellness, our connection to nature, but also, you know, connections with one another and not being able to, I guess it's a lot easier to be divisive with someone that is not in front of you than just with someone who is in front of you. And so that's like, you know, one huge thing. And then of course our youth, you know, are in vital development. And that's just the area of development that they're in is socialization. But, you know, being that Daniel's, you know, a little bit younger than me, I think he might be able to answer this question a little bit better.
I think something to note is that Santa Maria has a very young population. The city as a whole is very young. And growing up here, I think especially I was in high school in a time where there was a uprise of violence in Santa Maria. Whether it was gang violence, unfortunate, like drunk driving deaths of some of my classmates and friends, things like that. There was this showcasing of youth not really knowing what to do, where we belonged in our own community. And especially now, like Alma was mentioning, throughout the pandemic, we saw this disconnection from folks that we had grown up with. Like, if you're a student your entire life, you're growing up in this community where you're most likely seeing a lot of people that you've gone to school with since you were a child, and you're becoming a young adult, and you're now transitioning into a different period of your life where, you know, you're trying to figure out how to reconnect with people, how to exercise, how to maintain like your own physical well-being, mental health. And where do you go in Santa Maria? Where do you go in our communities to be able to enjoy yourself, to enjoy the presence of others in a safe manner? As we're seeing the other side of COVID and the pandemic, we also have to ask ourselves, like, you know, if it wasn't for the pandemic, would we have noticed the lack of outdoor spaces for our community? And And what can we do to change that? And I think even now, as we see another string of unfortunate deaths in our community of young folks, providing a space for our youth and young adults to be able to just be kids, to just be teenagers, to walk, to run, to bike, to go out with their families, to enjoy the area that they live in. And I think that's something that has health benefits, has social benefits, but overall, it's memories that folks are going to be able to remember of their own community, whether it's them going off to college and going to other communities or coming back or having younger siblings to be able to spend time with. We want to make sure that people in our community have safe and accessible spaces to be able to do these things, not just going to a random park next to your house that maybe isn't maintained or is full of trash, but spaces where they're going to actually be able to be happy.
And Daniel, what would you say the skills and values that are sort of taught through accessing parks and also having that ability to have recreational opportunities that are safe?
First and foremost, I think it's just the realization that we're deserving of these things. That self-worth aspect of teaching our youth and young adults that, hey, like your community and you're deserving of spaces like this. Goes a long way, because that translates to other aspects of your life as well. Advocating for the things that you believe in, that you want, that you know that your community is in need of, that public speaking aspect, that community organizing aspect, the canvassing, the realization that like, hey, these are the factors that go into why our community has been denied these things. I think that stirs some political awakening, but at the end of the day, it just comes back to giving our community that self-confidence and that self-awareness that we are deserving of great things, just like our predominantly white neighbors are receiving. Like our community that is 80% non-white in Santa Maria, we shouldn't have to ask for these things to happen. Unfortunately, that is our reality, but we can do it, and we are going to do it, and we're going to continue doing it until we don't have to.
Yeah, there's a real disconnect between, you know, our community and nature. And the funny thing is that, you know, our Indigenous ancestors were very connected to nature, and it just makes such a huge difference. It's almost like the land, the public land that, you know, land in general is just not available in low-income communities. As you know, here that means, you know, North County, Santa Barbara. And so, unfortunately, that just create, that's disconnects us from a sense of ownership of where we live. Our Latino population, you know, works the land, you know, they work in the agriculture, but they're not really able to enjoy, you know, the land and that type of connection. And for mental wellness and for a sense of stability, for a sense of value, you know, it's essential. It is essential to have access to nature, to have access of open space, to have access, you know, to a place that, you know, that we're surrounded and that we're able to be a part of. And so you see that the most when you also see that when advocating for environmental projects, our community's usually not at the table, you know, and that's because there has been such a disconnect over the decades of, you know, being connected to the land and the value and you know, just what it means to be able to sustain, you know, the environment.
Tom, how do you see the Central Park Project contributing to building a stronger sense of community for folks in Guadalupe and visitors?
Well, we're social animals, and we have to start there. And from a mental health holistic perspective, being inside your house isolated is not going to create that sense of self, and it's not going to allow you to have a sense of being able to communicate and be with other people. So Central Park is designed for people to go in there and experience being with other people. Guadalupe is a population that is significantly younger. 32% are below 18. What you want to be able to do is have And I would say the city has a number of activities that are going on for kids to play baseball and basketball and all of those events. There's a Boys and Girls Club there as well. But there's a need for not so much the organized sports, which is there, and that's important, but there's a need to just be able to go at any point out of your home, across the street in some cases, and have a place there where you can hang out with people who you may never have met before and experience how that works of being with other people. And the social aspect of that is critical to youth development. It's also critical for the community members to see each other and be with each other, even though they may not have been there before. The park itself, Central Park, is very close to the downtown. So our hope is that as more people use Central Park, they also use the downtown businesses as a place to go as well. So the hope is that Central Park is on the train lines. So all of those Amtrak trains going by will see a really fantastic park as they go by. Maybe some of them might get off the train.
Thank you. Daniel, I'm thinking about how young people and what you've mentioned is how they get this chance to explore how they can take ownership of what matters to them, how to voice what matters to them, and know that they deserve this. What opportunities are there for young people to get more involved and have their voices heard for the Santa Maria Riverbed Trail?
I mean, quite simply put, join my Cause Youth Committee. I work as an organizer for youth and young adults. So I work with high school age students, community college age students, and just young adults in the community, getting them civically involved, letting their voices kind of lead and dictate what kind of campaigns we take on. And so that, I think, would be the most straightforward path. Contact me directly, daniel@causenow.org. And being able to join a group of leaders in our community that, you know, are from here or voicing their concerns with each other and coming up with these strategic plans of how to address these issues. But apart from Cause, there's a lot of amazing nonprofits and just youth organizations in our community that have been working for years to be able to make spaces for our youth to be able to learn about themselves, learn about their community, learn about what they're able to do for the community and what the community can do for them. So shouting out like Future Leaders of America, shouting out like all the programs in high school, any organizations, the hiking clubs, things like that, that really are encouraging our youth to be politically active, but also enjoy themselves and be able to exercise and just go outdoors and connect to the area around us. I think right now, especially as we're looking towards May 3rd being the date for the County Board of Supervisors to vote on the feasibility of the Riverbed Expansion Project, our youth are still hard at work at collecting signatures, doing social media blasts to let folks know if this is something that's happening, that community members can voice their concerns or their support for this project. I think that's the easiest way. It doesn't have to be necessarily joining Cause. It can just be, hey, I think this is a great thing that my family and I could benefit from. Like, how can we help? Sending out emails to Steve Avagnino, our county supervisor representing our district, and letting him know that, hey, like, this is something that I want as a resident of your district, and explaining away the reasons that we would benefit from. So I think there's a lot of creative ways that we can really continue showing your support for this. But at the end of the day, just go out and enjoy the existing trail. Showing that support, knowing that people are out there, is going to go a long way as well.
Yeah, I wanted to add that, you know, the Santa Maria River Trail study that, Daniel mentioned earlier that happened because of the advocacy of the community. It just came out. And so you can find that at Santa Maria, River Trail. It's, pretty much that's the website where you can access it. You can learn more about it. And as Daniel mentioned, that May 3rd is the day that the Board of Supervisors Santa Barbara County is going to go ahead and accept and then either move forward or not move forward, depending on, the outcome of what the public says, that the public wants to have this, have the supervisor approve, more funding to create the trail. And It's going to be the Board of Supervisors meeting is going to take place in Santa Barbara, but you can, you know, people can join by Zoom to share their comments. And, you know, I also wanted to address, you know, just the opponents of the River Trail, you know, are have a lot of concerns in regards to people crossing over and going into the fields, contaminating the fields, having dogs in the fields. But I just wanted to, you know, just I think it's important to be able to work collaboratively on these issues. You know, there could be a time where there's no dogs allowed on the trail, or, you know, we there's things that could be done to sort of mitigate those concerns. But to just tell a community, no, you know, you can't have a trail because you can't take care of it. You know, it's just, it really divides, puts more division between, you know, a community that already is, you know, strained. And so I think it's really important to be able to build bridges and say, you know, we can work together to address concerns and be able to have the amenities that we deserve. You know, otherwise it creates a more of a hierarchy, and we just don't want more division. We want to be able to work together, address concerns, and access, you know, amenities that the community deserves. So
if I could bring something else in, that we haven't talked about our elders, and COVID has been a real struggle. In Guadalupe, the senior center closed down due to COVID, and is Los Amigos is now working on bringing that senior center back up with senior meals programs and so on. Central Park is across the road from the senior center. So our goal is to have the seniors be able to just walk across the street and have a park right there for them. But our seniors are isolated, and the struggles that they've had with COVID has been really difficult. We've been listening to stories recently about many of our elders deteriorating because of COVID and because of the isolation that has come about because of COVID. So we should think about them as well in this conversation.
I'm Mario Espinoza-Kulik, with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It will be available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. The voices with mine today are Tom Brandeberry, founder and executive director of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, Alma Hernandez, president of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, and Daniel Segura, Santa Maria community organizer with CAUSE. We're talking about the benefits of safe and accessible public parks and how young people and their allies are mobilizing for the removal of barriers to increase access to safe open spaces. We do still have a little more time for your email questions or comments at voices@kcbx.org. In this last section, I want to focus on how people are able to support equity in accessing recreation and open spaces. I know that the efforts that you've all been talking about is nothing that any one person can do alone. So I'm interested if anyone wants to join Daniel in shouting out any organizations that you might partner with or any people who've been a part of advancing these efforts.
I would definitely like to give a shout out to the Dune Center in Guadalupe. They do a lot of work with the kids in the area in getting them out to the dunes and to get them out on trails. Recently, they had a whole event where they took families out into the ocean areas. So I give a big shout out to them and support them.
I know that Get Out, Stay Out is another organization that has been pivotal in getting community members, specifically Latino community outdoors, also People Self-Help Housing, you know, and the Housing Authority also, who is building redoing the housing in Escalante meadows that are just directly across from the levee. I know that they, you know, are looking forward to seeing the trail be developed to have their residents, you know, have access to open spaces and the trails. And And also, as I mentioned, people self-help housing, you know, also has a health and wellness component that they're, you know, that's why they're also being supportive of the trail.
I also wanted to shout out, I forgot to shout out MICOP and their Tekyo Youth Group, One Community Action, and BC Centro and Surge, who have been very supportive of this expansion mm-hmm. of the Levee Trail. So yeah, just wanted to give them a quick shout out as well.
And Family Service Agency and the Little House by the Park, who's also yes. out there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's exciting to hear about all of these different organizations and people getting involved. And I'm hoping that our listeners are also getting inspired to get involved in voicing their concerns or opinions or even support for the work that you all are doing. What else is needed to support more community engagement with these development efforts? Are there any things on the wish list that you think might make these efforts a little more streamlined or more impactful for our young people and residents in the area?
You know, I think one of the most important parts of looking to a community and saying, what is it that we need and how do we do those things, is it builds resilience in and of itself, because it allows people to sit and talk with each other and come up with ideas. And the ability to create networks is more important than the subjects, because once you create the networks, the subjects, you know, become part of that process. They automatically come up to the surface. So by creating networks, by creating organizations working together, by creating opportunities for people to sit and talk about what it is that's needed in their community, you automatically get a sense of what is the critical issues in a community. And I think that is always what Los Amigos de Guadalupe tries to do in Guadalupe. We don't want to just work in a vacuum and say, we know the answers to what is needed. We go to the community and the city and other organizations to see what they think that need is, and then try and work on that need. But you can't do it on your own. You can't do it with your own opinion. You have to look at the community as a whole and have that community participation.
Anything to add, Alma?
I don't have anything. Daniel, I think that was well said, Thomas.
I think Tom captured it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's great. And thinking about also how you were mentioning that there are all of these different assets that are already available in our own community. And I'm thinking, What is the opportunity here for folks that currently live in Guadalupe and Santa Maria to look more inward and start to utilize all of these different resources that are already available to them?
I think we're at a very interesting place right now where there's a lot of discussion of just how are we moving forward, at least in Santa Maria with our city. So just like what kind of new things we want to see, what kind of things we want to improve. And I think just revisiting places I know for me has really helped that I went to as a child. Like Waller Park in Santa Maria, that's something I want to highlight. That was the big park I remember in my youth. But I live in northern Santa Maria. For me to drive down to where Orchid Santa Maria meet, where Waller Park is, that's almost a 20-minute drive for me. And so just revisiting those places and just kind of reimagining what we want to see in our immediate neighborhoods and our communities, revisiting places that maybe we haven't been to in a while, like even like the Minami Center in Santa Maria, where there's a lot of great recreational opportunities. Like there's a gym, there's a pool, there's activities for youth and folks from all ages. I haven't been there in years, but I know that's an asset in our community that is beloved by many. And just being able to, again, share that information with more folks, or just inviting a friend, inviting your family member to go out for a walk, to enjoy these places, it's going to stir up a lot of those emotions of, wouldn't it be cool if there was a bench here? Wouldn't it be cool if there was water stations nearby? How are we going to know how we can improve our community if we're not outside in our community? How are we going to know what our community wants if we're not talking to our community? So I really would just really encourage folks right now, especially as we're transitioning into this in-person pandemic thing, to be able to socialize again and see what that means like to them.
Yeah, I think also, you know, cycling, you know, BC Centro and having open space or like open streets events, you know, have been pivotal and recognizing just how abundant you feel when you're connected with community, you know, and also that there isn't enough open spaces. You know, when you, anytime that you take out a bike in Santa Maria, you're like, okay, I'm gonna get killed. And then you realize we need more spaces to be able to ride bikes. And so I think that they have been really key in bringing that awareness, you know, of how important, you know, it is to have the trails and open spaces.
I'll turn it over to all of our guests today at this point to see if there's anything that we may not have covered that they'd like to share. Tom, would you like to start?
I think we've covered a lot of it. I just think Daniel should be in charge of everything.
You're too kind, Paul. You're too kind.
We're in good hands. The future's in good hands.
It is. It's in very good hands. Mm-hmm.
I think Mario just wanted to reiterate one more time, May 3rd, 9 a.m. in Santa Barbara. There's going to be a County Board of Supervisors meeting where they're going to be voting on approving the feasibility study for the Santa Maria Riverbed Levee Expansion Project. So if folks want to get involved with that, reach out to CAUSE, look us up on our website, and our contact information is there. Would appreciate all the support we can get from our community.
I would like to say that Los Amigos, that Leroy Park grand opening will be June the 12th. It will be a grand opening with a community barbecue. Come join.
Let's see. Well, I don't have anything else. I just, you know, wanted to also reiterate the you know, just the upcoming Board of Supervisors meeting and you know, if there is a need to have more information, I think that we can provide the website and also in, you know, Daniel, did you share your contact information maybe for emails or updates on what's going on at the Board of Supervisors?
I did briefly, but I can put it in the chat if folks would be able to share that, but it's daniel@causenow.org.
Okay. And there's also a way to like sign up for newsletters for, you know, the county supervisors and get updates on the upcoming Board of Supervisors meeting as well. You can go to Supervisor Hartman's site or, you know, any other supervisor as well.
I'd like to express my profound gratitude to our guests today, Tom Brandeberry, founder and executive director of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, Alma Hernandez, president of Los Amigos de Guadalupe, and Daniel Segura, Santa Maria community organizer with CAUSE. We've discussed the myriad ways that young people, adults, and our listeners can become more involved in creating more access to high quality public parks and recreation. You can continue the conversation with these incredible organizations on social media. Los Amigos de Guadalupe is on Facebook and Instagram at Los Amigos de Guadalupe. And you can follow CAUSE on Facebook and Instagram at CAUSE805. To get involved and join the CAUSE Youth Committee, contact Daniel Segura at daniel@causenow.org. You can also express your thoughts relative to the topic of the Santa Maria Riverbed Trail by contacting our county supervisor, Steve Levitino, at steve.levitino@countyofsb.org. Or sign the petition at actionnetwork.org/petitions/Santa Maria River Trail Expansion Support Petition. We hope you will join Central Coast Voices for our next show on Thursday, April 14th at 1 p.m. with host Latha Murthy as she speaks with members of the Arab American community on the Central Coast. Farah Al-Nakib, assistant professor in the history department at California Polytechnic State University, San Luis Obispo, Sandra Saruf, founder and director of Cultural Creations, and Rola Elberberry. They will discuss Arab American heritage, culture, and pay tribute to the contributions of Arab Americans and Arabic speaking Americans. Central Coast Voices has been sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX. I'm your host, Mario Espinosa Kulik, and thank you for joining us today.